Our worship time is far too short, isn't it?
Yes.
Thank you. You got to be like our African-American brothers and sisters that go and go 3-4 hours, right? You'll do that for a football game, right? So we're going to continue in our series, and we're going to be in the book of Romans 12, if you want to flip open a Bible or flip your phone on, whatever you use. Talking about open doors that God has for us. So here's the thing. Every day, you can wake up, roll out of bed, and think, I wonder, how is God going to use me today to bless somebody's life? Is that how you wake up? That kind of anticipation? That's what you can do. What walking through God's doors of opportunity is the theme of our current series. And we have this partner in this ministry called Pastor Ortberg, who's used to be at Willow Creek. Now he's out at Menlo in San Francisco area. And so we're using his stuff to kind of draw on. He's the class we're doing. He says this. He says, a door is one of the richest images in literature. It can mean safety, my door is chained and locked. It can mean hiddenness, no one knows what goes on behind closed doors. It can mean rejection, she shut the door in my face. Or it can mean rest, like a young mother going to the bathroom to get away from her kids. Like that ever works. In the Bible, this isn't our main verse, but in the Bible in Revelation 3:7-8, you can turn wherever you want, Revelation 3:7-8, we read of another kind of door. It says this. This is Jesus, or about Jesus. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Right. That's what I'm about. Overseer of the churches. These are the words of him, speaking of Jesus, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the keys of David, and what he shuts, no one can open, and what he opens, no one can shut. I know your deeds, says Jesus. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have a little strength. You have kept my word and not denied my name. So Ortberg goes on to come and he says, in this passage, a door is an open door and it's symbolic of boundless opportunities, of unlimited chances to do something worthwhile, of grand openings into new and unknown adventures of a significant living. And heretofore, unimagined chances to do good, to make our lives count for eternity. An open door is the great adventure of life because it means the possibility of being used by God. Of course, the wonderful thing about this Revelation passage, it says, whatever door Christ opens to you, no one can shut. Let us pray. Father, as we go to your word and we hear your great promises and your invitation to partner with the Trinity in significant life-changing, world-rocking ways, Lord, we pray for faith. We pray for faith to hear your word. We pray for faith to understand your word. But most of all, we pray for courageous faith to actually obey your word. Lord, you don't want us to be small-minded people. You don't want us to be small-souled people. You want us to live large. You want our lives to matter for eternity. And so, Lord, give us that kind of grand faith. Give us eyes to see the doors each day you open to love another and the doors in this season of life of opportunities to partner with the Trinity. I invite you to take a minute in silent prayer and just ask the Lord to do whatever he wants to do through the Word of God just then. So today we're exploring this question, how do we know, so somebody opened doors, how do we know what doors God is opening to us? In other words, how can you discover God's will in discerning open doors? And so our passage again from Romans 12, 1 through 8, and as we read this together, I invite you to listen, look for, what does this particular passage say about what are the requirements, what are the attributes, what are the pathways of discerning God's will, God's open doors? Romans 12, 1 through 8. Paul writes, in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, therefore it's the word of God. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, then you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, says Paul, I say to everyone among you, not to think of him or herself more highly than they ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Okay? For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of it, of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to her faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. The word of God for us. So our passage connects three components, for you note takers, three components of how to discern the doors that God is opening to you each day and in this season of life. Three components. One, a full surrender to Christ and the Holy Spirit. Two, transformation into Christ likeness. Three, a humble assessment of your God-given talents, resources, and spiritual gifts. Okay? Surrender, transformation, humility. They're like a three-legged stool that would fall over without one of the legs, right? If you want to discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect, you need surrender, transformation, and humility. So let's explore these traits of open door people. Again, discerning God's open doors and having the courage to walk through them requires utter dependence on the grace of God and the indwelling Holy Spirit. We're not talking about just pursuing a career and your natural abilities. We're talking about supernatural acts of faith, hope, and love done in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. That's foundational. Verse 1, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holding acceptable before God, and that's worship. So transformation into Christ-likeness, courage to walk through open doors, requires the power of the Holy Spirit, which requires wholehearted, whole body, whole mind, whole emotion, whole passion, whole imagination, whole possessions, whole time, surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord. Right? You with me? Many of you heard the illustration from the classic book, My Heart, Christ's Home. It talks about our life having many rooms, and so you have your recreation and your career and your study and your finances and your possessions and your sexuality and your gender and your worship and your service and all your secret sin and shame. And we have all these doors, and some of them are wide open to Jesus Christ, and some of them are locked shut and say, no thanks, you may come there, but don't you dare come here. Right? And when we in Christ wants to come into these rooms, not just to spruce them up a little bit, he wants to completely reign in every area of our life. Christ is there for a total extreme home makeover. C.S. Lewis in his classic book, Mere Christianity, everyone should definitely read that, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis, gives a similar metaphor of this. He actually attributes this to his one of his big influences, George MacDonald. He says this, imagine yourself as a living house, and God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps you can understand what he is doing. He's getting the drains right, and he's stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You know those jobs needed doing, and so you're not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably. And it doesn't seem to make any sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house from the one you thought of. Throwing up a new wing here and putting an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought he was just making you into a decent little cottage, but he is making you into a palace in which he intends to live in himself. Christ is either Lord of all or he is not Lord at all. So many want the reward of being a Christ follower without the cross of Christ. Christ doesn't invite us to come and have a life of comfort and material blessing. Christ invites us to come and die. Right? Come and die. Come and pick up your cross and follow me, invites Christ. We're called to present our bodies, which means our entire life and being, as living sacrifices. What's this a reference to? All the Old Testament sacrifices. As one commentator said, when the Hebrew priest placed an animal on the altar, the animal didn't look up and say, could you perhaps just take off an ear? No. That's not an acceptable sacrifice to God. Total surrender unto death. This is what is required if you want to know God's will. He doesn't just give you little bits of it. It's all or nothing with God. If you want to experience God's open doors, it requires utter dependence on God's grace and spirit and absolute surrender to Jesus Christ. And as you live out of that posture, every day you have to overcome the flesh and the world and the evil one. And as you live out of that posture of full surrender, then you continually engage in the second requirement, which is the transformation of your mind. Transformation into Christ-likeness is the second requirement of discerning and entering God's doors of opportunity. Absolute surrender, transformation. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world like a mold, the idea of a mold pressuring you into looking like something. Rather, be transformed like we sung from the inside out. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And you've heard this many times. The word transformed here is metamorpho, right? And what does that sound like in English? Metamorphosis, as in the caterpillar going to the butterfly. This is what God's plan is for your mind. Not little changes, not a few nice little thoughts that are better than old thoughts. No, absolute metamorpho, absolute transformation. It's the same word they use in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, for transfigured, for when they're explaining, describing the transfiguration of Christ as he appeared to the three in his glorified body. And so God's plans for you right now is to begin to experience in your mind the radical glorification that will be yours in full when you receive your glorified body. And the word mind here in Hebrew and Greek, the word mind isn't how we use it in English, which is when you think of mind, you think of your thoughts. No, the word mind here means everything. It means your heart. It means your passion. It means your imagination. It means your fantasy life. It means the part of you that makes decisions. And so when he's saying be transformed and renew your mind, he's saying renew your imagination, renew your passions, renew your emotions, renew the part of you that makes decisions, renew your thoughts. And of course, we know how to do that, right? We engage daily in the regular practices that saturate us with the Word of God. The third leg of this stool, the third component of discerning God's will, Christ opened doors, is a humble assessment of your God-given gifts and talents and resources. All right? So here's the thing. While Christ can and certainly does call us through doors that are seemingly too hard for us, right? He'll do that. He's always done that for me. It's like, I want you to do this. It's like, no, God, I can't do that. And he says, yeah, you will, because where I make the calling, I make the ability. So there's certainly this stretching, but there's a limit to the stretching in that God's never going to call you to walk through a door that's completely outside of your realm of wiring and talents and gifts. So there is a limit. For example, I can be 100% certain that God is not calling me to walk through the door of the praise team leader. He's not calling me to be a mathematician. He's not calling me to be a ballet dancer, even though I can bust a move. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Accurate assessment of your God-given talents and strengths and resources. And here's the thing. Here's what I hear. It's this. It's not at all pleasing to God to do this. I just don't have any gifts or talents God can use. You know how offensive that is to God? Because he's promised in this passage and in many others that every single son and daughter of God has God-given talents and resources and gifts to use for the kingdom of God. Don't call God a liar. And every person, just like we read, members of the body, right? Every Christian in the local congregation and in the global church who is not using his or her gifts to the maximum ability, that local congregation and the entire global body of Christ is that much weaker. That's how important your contribution is to the kingdom of God. Humility is not to think less of yourself, it is to think rightly of yourself. As our passage says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but to think with sober judgment. Evaluate what is the measure of faith that God has given you, assigned to you. Everybody has a measure of faith. Some have measures of faith to be a Billy Graham. Some have measures of faith to just clean toilets to the glory of God. And that calling is every bit as important as Billy Graham's. You live out your calling to the best of your God-given abilities, to the glory of God, and that is what God rewards. Right? Having gifts differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. So, walking through Christ's open doors requires three traits. So, pop quiz, what are they? Aren't they good? They're really good. So here's the thing. As Monk would always say, here's the thing. Christ delights for us to partner with the Trinity in going through doors to engage in kingdom demonstrating acts of faith, hope, and love. Nevertheless, the main point of this message is a truth that I've been preaching and teaching for 11 years now to you all. You ready? God is far more concerned about developing your character than using you in ministry. Right? God places a much higher value on our learning to trust in him than our being used by him. As Pastor Ortberg expresses these same truths, he says that often in seeking God's will, what we really want to do is just offload the stress of having to decide to God, right? Tell me what to do, God, because then it's your fault if I don't do it, or I don't have to make a decision. And God says, as Pastor Ortberg says, no, God wants us to be excellent choosers. God has no interest in micromanaging your life. He wants, he's the whole purpose of this human condition is to train up people, sons and daughters of God, who have the ability to make good decisions. Ortberg gives a five-step process for discerning God's open doors. Those of you in class get these in detail. Five steps to discerning God's doors, and these all align with these truths. The first one, recognize opportunity, right? So you live a life, there's a door. Recognize opportunity. Then you identify the options. Well, I can go through this door, I can go through this door, I can go through this door. And then you write them down, and then you evaluate those options. Well, this door clearly isn't the door because it doesn't have anything to do with my passion and my calling and my giftedness. This door looks like, and this door looks like it's good. And then you go and you get counsel, and you say, what do you think? I think God's kind of calling me to this door. What do you think? And they say, well, I don't think so. You can't even, whatever. So you get counsel. So you recognize opportunity, you identify options, you evaluate those options, and then you make a choice. See, here's where Christians get stuck. They say, well, I'm still deciding. I don't know if I should be an elder or a deacon or not. I mean, give me a year or two. No, if God's calling you to do something, and he and you just do it. I don't hear a whole lot of amens. Amen. Right? Yeah. See, Americans get stuck in, I just need more training. I just need one more seminar. Well, you know, God's doing this work in my life, and I need a little more healing. Maybe a few more sermons by Pastor Chris. That'll do it. No. You go. You make a choice. And then five, you learn from that choice, good or bad. I made the wrong choice. Oh, wait. No problem. God will redeem it. Doesn't qualify. What's the classic phrase by that missionary? God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. Don't wait until you think you're ready. If God's calling you to do something, you go, ready or not. So here's the big picture. You make decisions in your current life, whether you're 10 or 100, you make decisions in light of eternity, right? When God's dealing with you, he's not dealing with you just for this current life. He's dealing with you for eternity. So God, here's God's will for you. He is right now in the process of transforming you into a person who can handle a phenomenal, unimaginable degree of glory and authority on Christ's new earth kingdom. How's that for a call? Open doors, seasonal and daily, are not just the things you do for God. There are things that are given to you to become more like Christ. Again, as Ortberg articulates this truth, God's will for your life is not the achievements you accrue, it is the person you become. So lock that into your soul. God's will for your life is not the achievements you accrue, it is the person you are becoming, is how I would put it. As one book calls it, character is destiny. We think of destiny in terms of deeds, but God's destiny for us is about character. This present life is not about your happiness or success. This life is, this is my phrase, this life is boot camp for your eternal destiny. Okay? So if you think of life, this current life, as boot camp, what are you not thinking about? How much fun you can have, how much free recreation you can have, how much you can spend your money and your time on fun and pleasure, because when you're in the army, you're not thinking about those things. You're thinking about being trained for being on the front line of a fierce war. This life is boot camp. You have all eternity to party. Right now, it's boot camp. So don't be surprised when trials come your way. Don't be surprised that life is hard, because they are what is required to shape you for your eternal calling. What is most important in this life is learning to trust in the Trinity so that you can become kings and queens forever who are capable of ruling the new earth with justice and agape and grace. For most of us, God's open doors are not some blinding light of Christ calling us to be an apostle. Most of us, our open doors are not about taking on some grand world-changing ministry. Most of us, for the doors, and these doors are every bit as important as those grand ones, is just loving the person right in front of you with the best you can do, with the best of your strength and ability, with God's other serving, needs meeting, sacrificial, costly, inconvenient love.
That's it. How you're doing in that? When Christ has returned and all the evil and evildoers have been removed, and the new earth has been recreated, and there's billions upon billions all gathered to have to hear each person tell their story, the loudest applause and glory to God won't be for those who received all the applause now. It'll be for all those countless unknown children of God who just labored faithfully in giving and serving unnoticed except by God. Take courage, dear family of God. Father God delights even if you take the smallest baby step into open doors. As we read in our opening passage, Christ says, "See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut." And Christ says, "I know you have a little strength. It's okay. I know you just have a little strength. But you've kept my word and you have not denied my name." Let us pray. Holy Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we look in the mirror and we look at our soul and we say, not much there, not much to offer. You look at our soul and you see Christ reigning. You see all things are possible. You see, I have given you everything you need for life and godliness in Christ. So, Lord, let us see ourselves and let us see one another as you see us, as creatures of stunning glory, of creatures of magnificent potential, creatures of sons and of daughters who can partner with the Trinity, changing lives. And each person's life that is changed one little bit changes the world. We pray this in our souls. We receive this in our souls. As we go to the sacrament now, we receive it. We receive faith and hope and love as your spirit rests upon these common elements of bread and juice. That they become for us a spiritual partaking of the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. Let it go into our soul as the physical elements goes into our stomach. Let your spirit go into our soul and nurture and nourish and enliven. Bring healing where there needs to be healing. Brings faith where there's doubt. Bring hope where there is cynicism. Bring agape love where there is hatred and bigotry and racism. Transform us from the inside out with the power of this sacrament for your glory and kingdom in Christ.